Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Daf Tes. Says the Mishnah, Ein Choshishin. Once a person cleans up his house, he checked for chametz. Does he have to be concerned that perhaps, look, my house is clean, but my next door neighbor's isn't? Maybe an animal dragged some chametz from his home to mine. Do I have to go ahead and recheck my home? Says the Mishnah, no, Ein Choshishin. We don't have to speculate. Shema Geirur Chulda. Perhaps a weasel dragged some chametz. Mibayis Labayis. From one home to the other. From the unchecked home to the checked home. Umimakim Lamakim. Perhaps within your home. Perhaps within your room. You checked one side, one corner. Now you're going to the other side to continue checking, looking for chametz. Perhaps in between, a weasel dragged some chametz from the unchecked corner of the room and brought some chametz to the part which was already checked. Do we have to worry about that? Does that require rechecking? Says the Mishnah, no, we don't have to speculate. Ein choshishin, shema geirur chulda, mibayis labayis, mimakim lamakim. You know why? Dim kain, because if you'll have that attitude, it's going to be a never-ending concern. Mechatzel lechatzel, what about from one chatzel to the other? Say they cleaned up all the homes in this chatzel. They checked for chametz. But perhaps an animal will drag some chametz from the home in the chatzer next door to your chatzer. Umeyeli'ir, or perhaps from one city to the other. Hein ledavar soif. So if that's the case, it's never ending. I have to draw the line somewhere. Chacham, we're not concerned about these types of speculations. You do your bedikas chametz, and that's it. Let's take a look at Rashi. Up on top, Masnisin. Ein choshishin shema geiru chudu. Ein choshishin. We're not concerned kishabada gzavazu. So when he completed checking one corner of the room, uba livdeik zu, and he goes to the other side to check, shema betoich shaba livdeik zu, maybe in between, in the interim, when he's walking from one side to the other, geiru chudu chametz, lemakim abadak, perhaps this weasel, this rat, grabbed some chametz from the corner where there's still some chametz present, and dragged it over to the other corner. And that would require me to recheck the other corner. Says the Mishnah, we can't go that far. Shim kain, shabas alachash lakach. If you're going to have these concerns, it will be a never-ending situation. Hare gam mechatz lechatz yeshleim akach. The same thing can apply from one chatz to the other. Ani badakti koidem lechaveri. I did bedika prior to my friend. Olaachab bedikasi. After I completed my bedika, hevi yechulda chametz mechatzer chaveri lechatzeri. After I did my bedika, perhaps the chulda dragged some chametz from my friend's courtyard over to mine. Ve'elu davar soif. It's never going to end. Says Rashi, when the Mishnah uses the word chatzer, he meant to know v'lav chatzer mamish kamar. Certainly, it's not referring to the actual courtyard, which, as we learned, doesn't require bedika altogether because it's out in the open and exposed to the elements, and we assure that the animals consumed whatever's there. Ela kol bate ha-chatzer kari chatzer. Chatzer is in reference to the homes within the chatzer. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us that, generally speaking, we don't have to speculate that perhaps an animal dragged some chametz from the area where there is chametz still present over to the area which was already cleaned out and checked, because it's a never-ending pursuit, and the chachamim need to draw a line somewhere. As long as he did his bedikas chametz, he was yotzei the mitzvah, and he no longer has to speculate further. Continues the Gemara. Okay, time of the lechazina de shakl. This is only because he didn't actually see the animal bring some chametz into the home. So you don't have to speculate. Ha chazina de shakl. But if we did indeed see, we observed the chula as he brought some chametz into the home, which had already been checked. In that case, chashinan. You have to be concerned that perhaps there's still some chametz in the home. Ubay bedika. You have to recheck the home. Vamai. Why is that? Neima. Achalte. Why don't we say that the animal surely consumed what he dragged into the home? So you saw him bringing it to the home, but let's assume that he ate it up. And therefore, bedika is no longer required. Milo Tanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah that we apply that rationale? Medoyroi so'akim tmeim. The dwellings of the Goyim are tamei. because they keep their stillborns, they bury them in the homes, and therefore it's metame. V'kama yisha b'mother, how long does the goy have to reside in that place? Hey, ha'mother tzarech b'dika, which would necessitate b'dika throughout that dwelling. Let's say Yisrael wants to now occupy that apartment. How long is the goy living there, which would require b'dika? 40 days, as Rashi explains. That's how long it takes for the fetus to form. And so once he lived there for 40 days, we're concerned perhaps there was a miscarriage, a stillborn, and there is tumah sitting in the home. Even though he has no wife, he's not married, because as Rashi explains, they're involved in znus as well. So that's the halacha. The dwelling of a goy needs to be checked for tumah. However, says the Mishnah, anywhere where we can assume that a chulda, a weasel, or a chazir are commonly found, so have access to that area, in which case they can consume the flesh of this tumah, ein tzrichim b'dika, that place doesn't need ein tzrich b'dika, because we assume that the animal consumed it. So in our case as well, why are we concerned about the chulda bringing chametz into this home, which has already been checked? Let's just conclude that the chulda certainly ate the chametz, and there's nothing left. Amar Rav Zeir Lekasha, the answer is, Hava basar, v'hava lechem. When it comes to the goy, we're speaking about meat, about flesh. So we can safely assume that the animal consumed it. V'hava lechem, we're speaking about chametz, bread, where we're not certain that the animal consumed it completely. B'basar le'mishayra, when it comes to flesh, we can safely assume that he didn't leave any remnants. So he completely ate up the tumah. B'lechem mishayra, when it comes to bread, we have to be concerned that perhaps he nibbled at it, but perhaps he left something over. In which case, you have to do b'dikas chametz throughout that house. Amar Rava, Haimai, how could you compare the things to begin with? They're two separate contexts. B'shlema hasam. In that case of the tumah, it works well because do you really know for sure that there was tumah there? It's a suffix to begin with. You're dealing with an uncertainty. Amor hava. You can say, yeah, there was tumah there, Eim or lo yahava, or perhaps there was no tumah there. You don't know for a fact that there was tumah in that place. That's one suffix. V'imtim tzalei mahava. Even on the chance that there was something there. But there's another factor in favor. Eim or achalte, perhaps the animal consumed it. So you have two factors in favor, which is, in Gemara terminology, called a sfeik sfeik. So it's a double suffix in favor. That's why you can safely assume that there's no concern, there's no tumah present. Maybe it was never there to begin with. And even if it was there, it was consumed by the animal. Aval hocha. But now, in case of the chametz, the vaday. It's a vaday. Why the chazina, the shakal? We observed the chulda bringing the chametz into the home. So it certainly was here. It's a vaday. It's a certainty. Mi yemar dachalte. Who's going to tell you that he ate it? That's a suffix. So you have a vadei chametz and a suffik that was nechal. Have a suffik of vadei. You're dealing with an equation of a suffik versus a vadei. Vein suffik mois in a vadei. An uncertainty doesn't have the ability to undo, to override a vadei. That explains why in our case, should you see the chametz actually entering the home, which that's a vadei factor, you can't just say, well, let's assume it was consumed. That's a suffik. A suffik can't undo a vadei. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So if we look to the right, drop about five lines down. Begin with the words, Hai Mai. So this is Rava's response. Kalaymar, Mai Kushi, what's the question to begin with? Inami urcha de mishayir v'bisra. Even if you say, even when it comes to flesh, the animal will leave some remnants. Meaning, even without the svara of Rav Zera to differentiate between basar and lechem. Let's say even when it comes to basar, he'll leave something over. Lekelon mechash hasam midi. When it comes to the medayri sa'akim, there's no concern. Dasam chashasha ba'amu. It's merely a chashash, a concern. Emer hava, emer lehava. You can say, well, maybe the tumah was there. Maybe he had a stillborn in the home. Maybe not. Hilkach hecha deshchicha chulda talin lekula. So when there is a chulda present, when the chulda has access, we're toilet, we say, we'll say, well, even if there was some tumah there, let's assume that it was eaten up. Safak achila, the chance that he ate it can override and can undo, can cancel out the chance that it was there to begin with. So they equal out. Aval hocha gabi chametz, when it comes to chametz, the kashilach, what was your question? Hecha de chasin in the gara, na mine ma chalte, va de hava. What was your question? The Mishnah implies, well, you don't have to speculate, but if you see it happening, then you have to recheck the home. So what was your question? Why do you have to recheck it? Let's assume he ate it. We're speaking about a vada. You saw the chametz coming to the home. Mi ema da chalte. Who said he ate it? Have a suffolk beer. It's a suffolk beer. You don't know if it was disposed of. Vada chametz hoyakan. There was certainly chametz here. Vein suffolk heter. Meitzis habayis hazem. De vada yisur. The suffolk heter, the factor in favor. Maybe he ate it. Doesn't have the ability to undo the iser, which was applied to this home when the chametz entered the home. So Rav is very simple. When you have a suffolk on one side, yeah, it can be cancelled out by a suffolk on the other, such as the medoyer sa'akim. You don't know if there was tumah to begin with. So that suffolk can be cancelled out by the chance that perhaps, even if it was there, it was eaten up. But in the case of the chametz, there was a vade chametz. You can't undo that by speculating, perhaps the animal consumed it. A suffolk can't override a vade. Says the Gemara, really? Ve'ein suffolk moitzim de vade v'atanya. We have a brisa which seems to indicate otherwise. Chaver shemes. Chaver is a trustworthy fellow who feels responsible for others, not to be machshel others, to cause pitfall for others. So his chaver shemes, he passed away ve'niach megura melei peres. He left over a storeroom full of produce. Even if they were processed today, which gives them a very short time to attend to the truma maser obligation, still we say he tended to it, he took care of it, he separated truma maser, and now it's mutar b'achil. Harein becheskas v'sukana, they're presumed to be masuk and fixed, and mutar b'achil. So let's analyze. Well, what's the equation here? V'hocha devadei tvili haneperi. On the one hand, we have a vade. What is the vade? This produce is certainly tevel. We know it's fully processed. It's sitting in the home. It met all the conditions. It is chayiv in truma maaser. It's vade tevel. On the other hand, you have a suffolk. Perhaps he separated the maaser. Perhaps he did. V'suffolk musarn. V'suffolk loy musarn. And what do we say? It's mutar. Because he's suffolk and moitzim de vade. The chance that he addressed the truma maaser obligation is relied upon. It undoes, it overrides the Isser Tevel, which is a Vadai. How can you say that? How can the Isser Tevel, which is a Vadai, be overridden by a suffix? So the Gemara will answer twofold. Either the equation there does not involve a suffix and a Vadai. Rather, it's a Vadai and a Vadai. Or it's a suffix and a suffix. Says the Gemara, Hosam Vadai Vadaihu. You know what? We're dealing with a Vadai versus a Vadai. Why? So on the one hand, it's a vade tevel. On the other hand, he certainly meister them. The vade maasri. Why? It's a known fact. Al chaver she'en moitzi metachas yodoy, that this chaver would not let anything leave his possession. Dover she'en masuk, and something which is not fixed, not roi lachil. He doesn't want to cause pitfall to others. So we know with certainty, not even a suffolk, that he took off the miser. So yeah, on the one hand, it's vade tevel, but on the other hand, it's certainly misered. So there's no concern. Or you can say, suffolk v'suffolku. The equation involves here a suffolk on the one side, a suffolk on the other side. Why? Why is it a suffolk? It's vade tevel. It's sitting in the home, it's fully processed. Says the Gemara, not so quick. Even if this fully processed grain is sitting in one's home, there is a method that can be employed that would sidestep the chi of a truma maser. How's that? So you know that two conditions need to be met in order for the chi of maser to be activated. Number one has to be processed, which is called miruach, and also has to be presented to the home, has to be entered into the home through the pesach, which indicates that's designated for domestic use, it gives it prominence. So both those phases need to be accomplished. And perhaps the grain that is found in this chaver's home didn't conform to that, didn't undergo both phases. And therefore, perhaps it's not even tevel. So you're dealing with a suffix situation. And therefore, the suffix tevel can be undone by the chance, at least, that the chaver separated Turma Master. Let's see the Gemara. Everybody, same. Alternatively, you can say suffix v'suffix. We're dealing with a suffix versus suffix equation. Why? Dealing with mi'ikara, a more light tvile. Perhaps initially it never became tevel. Uk kira b'ishu. Domar b'ishu. Marim adam al tvosu. A person can employ a trick to avoid the truma on his tvua. Umachnisa b'moichela. How does he do it? He transports it into the home still contained in its chaff. So he brings it in that manner, which is not really record. It's not considered like bringing it in because you're not bringing grain into the home. Rashi elsewhere says it's at this point it's like machal behema. It's sitting with his chaff. It's not really meant for human consumption. So you can bring it in that manner into one's home and then in the home process it. So since he reversed the order, it's not considered tevel. He has to bring it in when it's ready to be brought in. So he can bring it in this manner, kadesha tehibahemto echeles, to allow his animal to eat, to ptumen amaser, and be potter from maser. So what do we see? That there is a method that can be employed to actually sidestep the entire concept of tevel. So that explains why we're allowed to eat the tvu of the chaver. Perhaps it was never tevel. So that's one suffix. Is it or is it not tevel? And then, in contrast to that, we have another suffix, which will tell us that maybe he took off the tumah ma'aser. So it's a suffix versus a suffix, and they cancel out. Now, one point to mention is why does the Gemara speak about a behema? We're speaking about a person eating. Why is it dafka behema? So Rashi explains that although min ha-Torah, the tvor brought into the home in this manner is really completely potter from Truma Maser, and therefore one can even engage in an achilas kvai, formal meal, with this type of produce, but midrabanan, you can only eat achilas arai in this situation. And any time we have unprocessed grain, you can eat achilas arai, such as this case. But achila of a behema, even achilas kva, is not called achilas kva. Behema doesn't have a formal halacha of status of eating. So even his formal meal is not considered a formal meal, doesn't have achilas kva, and therefore you can feed your animal without hesitation. However, a person, if you would like to partake in this tvor, can eat, but provided it's achilas arai. Okay, so in any case, we're dealing with a suffix, because once again, we're not even sure whether or not this thing was chayiv and tumah to begin with, and therefore we can address that possibility. We could counter it by using the possibility, the chance that the chaver indeed was masakin this produce, as opposed to our halacha of bdikas chametz, where we're dealing with an entirely different situation. It's vaday chametz in the home and a suffix of whether or not the animal consumed it. A suffix can't address, a vaday can override and provide a solution for a vaday. Says Ma, really? The ain't suffix moiti mide vaday? Vatanya, of Rabbi Yehuda, maase b'shif chasoy. There was an incident involving a maidservant, shel matzik echad, b'rimon. Rimon was a town. So matzik echad was this intimidating person, this oppressor. Okay, so his shifcha went ahead, she tila nefilabar. She delivered this stillborn, she miscarried into a pit. Now, they wanted to know whether this stillborn was a zachar or a nekeva. Nafkamina would be, what is the status of the mother? What days, what type of yimei leida does she have to observe? The yimei leida of a zachar or yimei leida of a nekeva? So they have to go ahead and determine the status and the gender of this nefil. So they sent a kohen, no less than a kohen. Kohen's not really allowed to get tummy, but Rashi says he wasn't... apparently he wasn't too conscientious about this whole thing. Maybe it was Amaritz. A Kayin came along and he peered into the pit. Leida im zacharu im nekevi, to figure out whether it was zachar in the cave. Now, he didn't find anything there. And the question was whether this kain is tame. Ubo ma'asav nechachamim v'tiyaru. So the story was presented to the Chachamim, and they said the kain is tar. We're not concerned that he hovered over the nafel. Why? We know it certainly there was a nafel in this bar. Because we know that the weasel and the bardless, some other animal from the weasel family, they frequent this pit, and we'll assume that they dragged it away, and this nafel was no longer present in the pit when the kohen leaned over. So that was the halach. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. What are we dealing with here? The vade itila, she certainly delivered this nafel into the bar. So at one point in time, there was tuma in this bar. It's a vade. V'safek geriru. V'safek lo geriru. Regarding dragging, we have a safek. Did the animals drag it away or not? Hahi shaita. At that point, when the kohen leaned over. And what do we say? V'ka'asi safek. U'moitzi midei vada. We say that the uncertainty, the chance that this thing was dragged away, overrides the vadai of tumah. How can we use a suffix to undo a vadai? We know there was tummy here at a certain point in time. We're just not sure of whether the tummy was still here when the kain arrived. Perhaps it was dragged away, perhaps it wasn't. That's merely a suffix. How can that address a vadai concern? Says Umar, loy tema, don't learn that the story was that it was a vadai tumah. We don't know with certainty that she delivered this nafel into the bar, which would be something that is metame. Ela'ema, rather say like this, she pilo kimin nafel bar. She dropped something which perhaps looked like a nafel. Not everything that a woman discharges has a din of tumah, has to conform to certain guidelines, has to have certain characteristics and features which enable it to be metame. So we're not sure what this was. If that's the case, we have an equation which entails suffix on one side. We don't even know if initially there was tumah here, if this nafel had the ability to be tummy, and that is countered by the possibility that perhaps it was dragged away. Even if it was tummy, perhaps it was dragged away. So we have a suffix versus a suffix, and that's okay. Says the Gemara, V'halei da'im zacharu im nekevi ketani. The Brisa clearly tells us that kohen was sent there to discern whether it was a zachar or a keva. Apparently there was some sort of stillborn hair. This is what the Brisa means to say. Leida im ruach hipila, im nefil hipila. He was sent on two accounts. Number one, to figure out whether it was merely a ruach, a sack of air, in which case it's not metame. Im nefil hipila, whether it was really a stillborn. That was one thing he had to figure out. And next thing he's going to figure out is v'intim tzalei menefil hipila. If you say that it was a nefil, leida im zacharu im nekevi. He's going to figure out the gender. So he was sent on two accounts. Number one, whether or not it was really a stillborn. Number two, was a zachar nekeva. So that anybody was speaking about a suffix tumah, which can be undone with a suffix that perhaps the tumah was removed. And therefore it's unrelated to our discussion of suffix versus vadi. Or you can say another pshat, hasam vadi vadihu. So according to the first teretz, it was a suffix and a suffix. Now the Gemara is saying, perhaps it was vade and vade. Why? We know with certainty that there was a nafel there. So at one point there was tuma in this bar. However, there is another factor, a vade factor, which opposes the first vade. Why? Kiven the chuldo bardos mitzuyin sham. Since we know that the chuldo and the bardos are commonly found there, vadai geru ba'ishat. That leads us to conclude that they certainly dragged the tumah away. Now, we don't necessarily know that they consumed, that they ate it up, but we know they dragged it out of the bar into their hole. So they got it out of the way, and the kohen certainly did not hover over the tumah. Now, perhaps they left something over. They didn't consume the whole thing at once. But that doesn't concern us, because migrar, mihas, regarding dragging away at least, Vaday Gerum Baishat, they suddenly dragged it away by the time the Kohen came along. So, in contrast with our Mishnah, where we saw the Chametz come into the home, we say, well, we don't know with certainty that the animal consumed it completely. Perhaps he nibbled at it and left something over. When it comes to the bur, we know it certainly they dragged it out of the bur into the hole, into their tunnel. So although he didn't fully consume it, that doesn't bother us. It doesn't concern us, as long as he got it out of the way. And that we can conclude with certainty. So the kasha was, how can the kohen be tar? There was vade tumah. Yeah, there was vade tumah there at one point in time. But by the time the kohen came along, the animals had already disposed of the tumah. They pulled it out of the bar into their private abode. Okay, so conclusion. The Mishnah told us regarding bedikas chametz, we're not concerned the shema geruchul that perhaps this weasel drags chametz from one corner to the other corner, because if you're concerned with that, it's going to be a never-ending preoccupation. However, if we actually observed the chametz being brought into the home by that animal, then you have to go ahead and recheck the home. Why? So first the Gemara says, because we can suspect that perhaps he left something over. He nibbled at the bread, but he left something over, as opposed to the basar, which will consume all at once. So the lechem is not so appetizing, exciting. Perhaps although he nibbled at it, something was left over. In which case, there's some chametz left in the home, which requires bedika. Rava tells us we can apply the concept of ein safek moitzi midei vaday. If you know with certainty that the animal brought chametz into the home, that's a vaday. To speculate that perhaps he ate it is merely a safek. A safek can't override a vaday. We proceed to Madiris ha'akam, the dwelling places of the goyim, which require bedika due to the presence of the stillborns, which are metame. However, we learned that if there's a chulda or a chazir present in those areas, have access to that area, we don't have to check. The reason being, according to one approach in the Gemara, because we're speaking about flesh, basar, which is attractive to them, and we presume that they consumed it, according to Rava, the reason is very simple, because we're dealing with a safek versus a safek. There's an uncertainty to begin with whether there was a tumah in that place. And that is addressed by the suffix that perhaps it was consumed. So one suffix can go ahead and cancel out the other suffix and remove any concern. We proceeded with the halach of chaver shemeis, and he left over some tvua. We learned that he can go ahead and eat that tvua. We assume that it's becheskas mesukanin. He already took care of the tumah master obligation. Why? If it's vade tevel, how can that be addressed by the suffix miser of the chaver? We don't know certainly that he took care of the miser. We might respond with two approaches. Either we're dealing with a vadai versus a vadai, because we know with certainty that this chaver would not let go of something which was tevel, lest somebody come and eat it, beiser. Or, says the Gemara, we're dealing with a suffix of a suffix. How is that? Because perhaps it was never really tevel. He brought it into the home when it was still in its unprocessed form, in which case it doesn't become chayv ha-meiser. So we're dealing with a suffix tevel, and that can be countered by the suffix that the chaver separated from a meiser, and therefore it's mut. We proceeded with the story of the shifcha, who was matil nefel lebur. The kohen came along, chavim decided that he's tar. How's that? If there was vade tum in the bur, how can we just assume that the tumah was no longer there when the Kohen leaned over? The Gemara provides two approaches. Either we're speaking about it's a suffix versus a suffix. Why? Because perhaps this nafil wasn't really something that has the ability to be matami, and therefore it's a suffix to begin with, and is countered by the suffix that perhaps the animal has removed the tumah. Or, as the Gemara concluded, we're dealing with a vadai vivadai. Why? So initially there was tumah here, with certainty, but the chulda barla certainly removed it from the bar. Therefore, we have a vadai tuma, which is opposed by a vadai removal of the tuma, and that's why we conclude that the kohen was tar. Continues the Gemara. Umi amrinan ein choshishin shemegeru chulda. Is that so that we are not concerned? We don't speculate that perhaps the chulda dragged around some chametz, unless we actually see it. We're not concerned with it. Vaktani seifa. But the Mishnah itself in the Sefer on Yonam and Beis seems to be concerned about that possibility. The Mishnah is speaking about the Erev Pesach, Mashem Eshayer, whatever he leaves over from the Chametz for his personal consumption, Yanachenu Betzina. He should place it in a secure location. Why? Shelo Yehi Tzorach B'dika Achav. So that he doesn't come to a situation where he has to go ahead and do B'dika again. Apparently we're concerned about an animal dragging some Chametz away. Amar Abayi Lekasha. The answer is, depends what day we're speaking about. Ho Bar Ba'Asar. The Mishnah day is speaking about Yudalit, Erev Pesach. Ho B'Shlesha Asar. As opposed to our Mishnah, which is not concerned about that possibility, because we're speaking about the 13th day of Nisan, B'Bedikas Chametz, the night of the 14th, it's not yet Erev Pesach. What's the difference? If it's 13 or 14 regarding this concern of an animal dragging away, explains Abayi. B'Shloisha Asa D'Shchiach Rifta B'Kulu Bati, on the 13th day of Nisan, when bread is still present throughout the homes, there's no shortage of bread, Loi Matzna, in that case, the animal won't hide the bread. He knows there's an abundance of bread, meaning, we're not concerned that he's going to drag away the bread, that's number one, but even, because even if he does, he'll just take a little bit for immediate consumption, immediate use, he won't look to drag extra to hide, because he knows there's always more bread around. That's our Mishnah. In contrast with the upcoming Mishnah, on Afyonim and Beis, which is speaking about Bar Ba'asa, on the 14th day, the animal knows that there's a shortage of bread. There's no longer bread to be found throughout the homes of Klal Yisrael. Matzna. In that case, we're concerned that perhaps he'll drag, and if he drags, he's going to hide some bread. And that will create concern because there'll be bread present in our home throughout Pesach. So concerned that if he decides to drag, he'll go hide it. Therefore, the Mishnah says, make sure to secure your chametz properly to avoid that possibility. Amar Rava, b'chichud ha-Navi'ahi. Is this weasel a prophetess? How does it know? It's a Navi to know what's going on. The Yada, the weasel knows, the Idnar Besar, that now it's the 14th day of Nisan. He's aware of the Jewish calendar, v'lo yofi ad l'urta. He knows that the next time people are going to break bed, it's only going to be at night. Apparently it would bake matzahs on Pesach itself. So he knows there's a shortage of bread, he knows what's coming, umeshayro metamro, and the result of that, he hides his bread, he leaves over and he hides some. No! Chulda's not a Navi. You know, this reference to the Chulda's intelligence with the term Chulda Navi'ah, he is actually a play on words, because there was a Navi'ah with the name of Chulda. So Rava responds, you can't go ahead and attribute this intelligence to the Chulda. There's no difference between the 13 and the 14. So what then is the Pshat in the Mishnah which seems to be concerned about the animals? Elama Rava Mashemeshayer Yanachena Betzina. The Mishnah says, whatever you leave over, secure, make sure it's in a safe place. And the reason is because perhaps you'll see the Chulda dragging something away. Shema Tiltil Chulda Befaneinu. The Chulda will drag some chametz in our presence. It's not a suffix, you'll see it. In that case, you'll have trouble. You have to go ahead and recheck your house. Tanakh, if I say the Rava, we have a brayta which supports Rava's approach. If a person wishes to eat more chametz, after B'dikas chametz, Ketzad Yasa, how does he do it? Masha Meshaya, whatever he leaves over, Yanachana Betzina, he keeps in a secure location. Shaloi Tov Echulda, V'titav Befaneinu. V'yitzorach B'dikah Achrav. To avoid a situation where the Chulda will drag some chametz in our presence. In that case, it's not a suffix. You have to go ahead and find that chametz. Rav Mari Amar, Gzeira, the concern of the Mishnah there is very simple. Gzeira Shamayenech Eser, Yibzatesha, perhaps he'll have his 10 pieces of bread that we put by B'dikas chametz. In any case, he'll have 10 and he'll only find 9. So when he comes back and he finds only 9, then he knows with certainty one of them was dragged away by the Chulda. So that's the concern of the Mishnah. That's not to say that if you don't see the Chulda drag, you have to still be concerned. Of course not. It's only if you have grounds for concern. So according to Rav, if you actually see the Chulda dragging it away, or according to Rav Mari, you're missing a piece of bread. Otherwise, there's never a concern enough to speculate, perhaps the chulda came along and drank some chametz, as our Mishnah clearly tells us. Continues the Gemara. Rashi says, Piskei halacha sein. So it's going to be psakim of halacha. Various scenarios involving confusion with chametz and matzah. So the Gemara like this. Teisha tziburin shel matzah. If you have 9 piles of matzah, ve'echad shel chametz, and 1 pile of chametz. And what happened? Ve'osa achbar, a mouse came along, ve'shakal, and he grabbed a piece. We don't know whether it was from the chametz pile or the matzah pile. V'le'yadinan im matzah shakal. We don't know if he took from the matzah. I'chametz shakal, he took chametz. And what happened? He ran into your home, which has already been checked for Pesach. And we don't know whether he brought chametz in or not, whether you have to go recheck your home. So what's the halacha? Hayinu teisha chanuyos. This halacha will correspond to the halacha of the 9 stores mentioned in the upcoming Mishnah. In which case we say that we go to Chumrah, and just because there are more piles of matzah than chametz, it's irrelevant, we can't follow the Rav. And the reason is because the suffix was generated with the actual pile. That generated the suffix. You saw him interacting with one of the piles. And since each pile is a separate, distinct, identifiable entity, the piles don't relate to each other. They can't serve as factors in one equation and we'll go ahead and follow the majority factors, which in this case is matzah. No. Each pile is a separate established entity, and since the achbar was observed taking from one of those entities, each one is a separate established entity, and you have a suffix. Was it the chametz? Was it the matzah? You can't follow the roiv. You look at it like it's 50-50 and it's us. We're going to see soon in the Mishnah, and Rashi will explain it for us. However, in the next case of pirish, let's say you didn't observe the mouse actually grabbing from the pile. You had these piles, 9 matzah piles, 1 chametz pile, and one of the pieces separated from the piles and is now sitting separately. V'osu achbar v'shakal. And now a mouse came along, grabbed that piece. So he didn't directly grab it from the piles. He found one sitting around, he grabbed that piece, which is really a suffix of what it is. And he took that and he went into the home. V'osu achbar v'shakal. What is the halacha there? In that case, we follow the Rav. We assume that he was handling a piece of matzah. You don't have to recheck the home. Because in this case, the piece had been separated beforehand. And it had its own inherent suffix. It wasn't the interaction with the piles that generated the suffix. The piece of bread sitting on the floor, separated from the pile, in itself had a status of suffix. Therefore, in that case, we take all factors into consideration and we say, well, it's more probable that it's matzah. More chances that originated from a matzah pot. So in that case, we follow the Rav. Hainu Sefer, that corresponds to the second part of the upcoming Mishnah, where we follow the Rav. This Nan, as we learned in a Mishnah, some say this Nan, it was a Braisa. Teisha Chanuyos. We have a city which has 10 stores. 9 of them, Teisha Chanuyos, Kulon Meichrim Basar Shchot. They all sell meat which is Shachot, Kasher meat. V'achas Mecheres Basar Nevela. And there's one store which sells Nevela meat. Meat from a dead animal. Treif meat. V'lokach Me'achas Mem. This fellow approached one of those establishments, purchases meat, and he doesn't know where he purchased it from. He doesn't know which store he approached. V'in Yedem Ezen Lokach. Sveke Aser. This suffix is Aser. Because the suffix was generated by his interaction with the establishment itself, which is a distinct and separate entity, and can't be combined with the other ones. Therefore, you can't say, well, there are many factors in favor. It's not like it's a mix-up. Each store is a separate, identifiable entity. The suffix is in his head. He's confused. But there's no mix-up in the stores. Therefore, you can't combine them and say, well, they can all contribute as a factor. Each one contributes a factor in the equation, in the total equation. No, they don't combine together to form an equation whatsoever. There's no rave to follow. In that case, the Bryce says, it's us. Uben nimtza. However, if there was a piece of meat found in the city, with a questionable origin. You don't know if it came from this store or that store. So this piece of meat inherently now is a suffix. It has its own suffix. Halicha ha-raif. In this case, we follow the raif. And since most stores sell kosher meat, this piece of meat is kosher. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, who explains this for us. So Rashi here is smack in the middle of the Amid, beginning with the words Teisha Tzibur. Teisha Tzibur and Piskei Halacha, saying the Gemara give us many Piskei Halacha. So the first case was, you have 9 piles of matzah, 1 of chametz, va'asa achbar v'shachl, says Rashi, v'nichas l'bayis v'fanenu. He grabbed a piece from one of the piles and ran into the home. V'lo yadinon, y'chametz shakal. We don't know if it was chametz that he had. V'kivin d'chazina. Now since we observed this happening, shrichan on hulivak, now you have to check. It's not just a speculation. You saw it, you witnessed it. That's one side of the coin. Maybe it was chametz. Are you doing matzah shakal? Perhaps it was matzah that he grabbed. Hayinu teisha chanuyis. This corresponds to the halacha of teisha chanuyis. The kaimalon behu lekamei, which the Gemara soon explained to us, has the din as follows. The chol kavua. Every time that it's called kavua, kavua means it's established, it's set in place and identified. The chol kavua should not lay makim kavua, meaning that you took something from its place. It's a set place, like a store, which is an established entity. Ein holchem b'yacharoy. We can't follow the right. Ella harayu kemechtzamech. It's like 50-50. V'safak yisur l'chunram. When it comes to Issa, we have to go l'chunram, and it's us. Pirish, however, if this mouse found a piece of bread which had been separated from the piles, pirish prusam machas me'atzibur, lachas me'azovius, so a piece of bread separated from the piles and now sitting in the other corner, and it's unknown where he came from. Now the mouse grabbed it and ran into the house. This corresponds to the second part of the mission. When he didn't actually purchase it from an actual establishment, so a piece of meat was found in the street, you can follow the roiv and it's mut. So now let's proceed with the mission. It says Rashi, you have 9 stores selling kosher meat, 1 non-kosher. And he purchased from one of these stores. Why? Why don't you follow the roiv? Explains Rashi. The chol kavua, kemechza mechza nida. We have an established, distinct entity which is identifiable on its own. Each store is distinct and clearly marked. Kosher, not kosher. There's no suffix in the stores. There's no mix-up within the stores. In that case, we deal with it like a regular suffix. The nafkulam in the ba'or of leivu kam olav, perikam the ksuvus. We have a source for this concept that when something is established and distinct and not involved in a taruvus, a mix-up, so when you relate, when you interact with that, and the suffix is generated by interacting with that established entity, you can't now connect it to the other factors. Each thing is dependent, must be treated independently, and it's just a plain suffix. So when he's unsure whether the store that he purchased the meat from is kosher or non-kosher, l'chomer, and it's us. Ube nimtza, however, basar nimtza bekak. You find meat sitting on the floor, bein achanuyas. Now this meat has a suffix. Questionable origin. We don't know where it was taken from. But the suffix was not created by the approaching of the store itself. You're past that. You found a piece of meat on the street. Halicha charit. Now you can follow the majority. They called a parish, more of a parish. We assume that anything that had been separated, presumably it came from the rive. So let's assume that it came from a kosher store. Techiv and the parish, ain't kantaris kavo. Once it's separated, there's no din of kavua because you're not dealing with the established entity any longer. So getting back to our case of the mouse grabbing this chametz or matzah, it depends what happened. If you observe the mouse grabbing it from the pile, which is an established entity, so despite the fact that there are more matzah piles, it's irrelevant. There's a suffix and you go to chumrah. However, if this piece had been separated previously from the piles, it's now sitting separately. So there's an inherent suffix within this piece itself. Irrelevant of the piles. You're not interacting with the piles no longer. There's a suffix here. Now we follow the most probable possibility, which is that certainly we can assume that it's matzah because there's more chances that it came from a matzah pile. Continues the Gemara. We have another scenario. Shnei tziburin, echad shel matzah v'echad shel chametz. have two piles. One is a matzah pile, one is a chametz pile. Uf neim shnei batim. And before them are two homes, echad badak ve'echad shnei badak. One home has been checked from chametz, the other one not. And what happened? Va'os shnei achbarim, and two mice came along. Echad chokal matzah. One grabbed a piece of matzah from the matzah pile, ve'echad chokal chametz, and one chametz from the chametz pile. And they ran into the homes. For the idea, now we don't know what happened. Hai lahai ayil, which mouse ran into which home? Vai lahai ayil, which mouse ran into this home? Meaning, did everything work out fine? Did the mouse with the matzah run into the house which was badak? And likewise, the mouse with the chametz happened to run into the house which was not checked yet, and then you're okay? Or perhaps in the reverse. The matzah was taken into the chametz home, and the chametz into the matzah home, which would necessitate rechecking. Hayin shtei kupois. This is the same halacha as the shtei kupois, two boxes, the snan, as we learned in a mishnah. Some say the sanya brisa, in which case we say that we follow the lenient approach, and we assume everything worked out fine. The matzah went into the home which was badak, the chametz into the other home. Shtei kupois, achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. You have two boxes, one containing chulin, one containing truma. Uf neim shtei sin. And before them there are shnei sin, two of these saw containers containing produce. Achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. One containing chulin, one truma. V'naflu elu l'soich elu. And the containers fell into the boxes. Problem is, we don't know which one fell into what. Was it the chulin which fell into chulin and truma to truma, in which case you're safe? Or perhaps just the opposite, and the truma fell into the chulin, and now the chulin is asur b'achila. So what's the halacha? Mutar. They're both mutar. Shani yoyme, because I can just say, I can assume chulin to chulin naflu, the chulin fell into the chulin, truma to truma naflu, and the truma fell into the truma. So everything's fine. Likewise, in our case, let's assume that the matzah went into the home which was Pesach Dik, and the Chametz into the non-Pesach Dik home. So that's how can you compare? Eimur da'amrin shani oimer. When do we say shani oimer that I can presume everything worked out fine, but truma d'rabbanon. Yeah, that's in the halach of truma, which is only with the Rabbanon. So if you take a look at Rashi on top, he says, but truma d'rabbanon bizman hazeh. Nowadays, it's only d'rabbanon. So with the Rabbanon, we can apply a kula. And we could say, shani oimer, let's assume everything worked out fine. However, b'chametz d'oraisa mi'amrinan. How do you know to apply that logic when it comes to chametz, which is asa mi'amrinan? Responds the Gemara, atu b'dikas chametz d'oraisa? D'rabbanani. We're speaking about b'dikas chametz. The question is he obligated to recheck his home? That's been d'rabbanan. The b'd'oraisa, b'bitul ba'al masayili. Bitul is sufficient to address the d'oraisa concern of Bal Yoroba Yimotzah, as we had earlier in the Masechta. So since we're only dealing with d'rabbanan, whether or not to be machayv and ubedika, we go ahead and we assume that the chametz entered the non-unchecked home, and the matzah was the one who entered the home that was checked, and therefore he doesn't have to recheck his home. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a mishnah that one doesn't have to go ahead and speculate. Perhaps the chulda grabbed some chametz from one room to the other, from one home to the other, because if that's the case, it's a never-ending preoccupation. Chacham did not require digas chametz to address all possibilities and all speculations. However, if we actually observed the chulda bringing some chametz into this checked home, then you certainly have to recheck your home. Why? Why can't we say, well, let's assume the animal consumed the chametz and it's no longer present in the home? The Gemara gave us two responses. Number one, when it comes to bread, we can't just assume that he consumed it all. Perhaps he nibbled, but we have to be concerned that he left some over, and there's some chametz left in the home. Rava tells us, here we're dealing with an equation that involves a vadai chametz and a safek consumption. A safek can't go ahead and override the vadai. We learned that medoyres ha'akam, the dwelling places of the goyim, need to be checked from tumah. However, if there are animals that have access to that area, bedikah is not necessary. Why? One pshat was speaking about basar, which is appetizing, and certainly they consumed it in full. Rava tells us, because the equation there entails suffix on one side. We don't even know if there was tumah to begin with. And on the other hand, we have a suffix. Even if there was tumah, perhaps It was consumed by the animals. So Suffolk can address a Suffolk concern. We learned about the chaver that passed away, left over some produce. We assume that it's fine. The Truma Maaser was separated. Why? How can that Suffolk, that chance that the chaver took care of the Truma, address the Isser Vadev Tevel? We'll respond to twofold. Either we're speaking about Vadev Vadev, because there's an absolute chazakah that the chaver separated Truma Maaser, or we're dealing with Suffolk or Suffolk, because perhaps initially the produce was never chayev and maser. He brought it into the home with his trap. In that case, there's no chiv to begin with, so it's a Suffolk versus a Suffolk, and you're okay. We learned about the shivcha that dropped her navel into a bar. The kohen came along to check it out. Chachamim concluded that he was tar. Why? Because perhaps the animals dragged it away? That's a Suffolk. How can that undo the vadei tumah that was present in the bar? Well, responded twofold. Either it's a Suffolk with Suffolk, because truthfully, we never really knew that it was a proper navel, which is metame. So there's an uncertainty to begin with, and that can be undone by the uncertainty of perhaps the animals dragging away the tumah. Or it's a vadei vadei, because although there was a vadei tumah in the bar, we can safely assume that it was at least dragged away in time by the animals. Abaye differentiated between the 13th and the 14th day of Nisan, and Rava said, "V'chichul d'navi'ei," has the chul to know what's going on. Certainly, there's never concern. There's never a need to speculate that a chul dragged away chametz. The Mishnah Daf Yud is speaking where we actually saw him drag it away. According to Rav Mari, we're missing a piece of bread. In which case, we have to go recheck the home. We learned about a case where there were piles. 9 matzah, 1 chametz, and the mouse came along, grabbed a piece, and we're not sure where he took it from. Was it from the matzah or the chametz? And he took that and he entered a home. Does that home require bedikas chametz? Speaking about a home that was already checked. So it depends. If he actually took the piece from the pile itself, which is called kavua, an established, distinct, identifiable entity, in that case, you don't combine the piles. You don't make a roiv consensus here, and you have to go to chumra. The house needs to be rechecked. However, if this piece had been separated from the piles, in which case you're no longer interacting with the established entity, then we follow the roiv. In this case, you're okay. We conclude with the case where you have a pile of chametz and matzah, and 2 mice came along. One took from the chametz, one took from the matzah, and they both ran into a home. So we have one home which had been checked, one which wasn't checked, and the question is, which one ran into which one? Conclusion of the Gemara is that there's no bdika requirement because we can safely assume that everything worked out fine. The chametz went into the unchecked home, and the matzah into the checked home, and the reason was because we're dealing with the Rabbanan, because this fellow did bittul, is going to do bittul, so the context is merely chiv bdikas chametz, which is the Rabbanan. In that case, you can assume that everything worked out